stories online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Your Real Ghost Stories at 855-853-4802. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email them over to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. With your audio files from your mobile devices. If you really want to get complicated, use one of those old 1990s cassette recorders, then dub it down to your computer, and then email it. Let's take one extra step right there to get that whole thing accomplished. It's Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
How are you?
I have a black lung right now because I...
That's not funny.
I've been ripping up... stuff in our house, our new house here. So behind the drywall is this insulation that's very dark and very fine. And then when you inhale it, then it's, you know, you blow your nose, you cough, it kind of, you know.
It looks like shredded cardboard. It's supposed to be like that. It's not like it's molding or something.
I'm not digging into asbestos or mold.
No.
It's just, it's super fine paper. But yeah, this is kind of like, but hey, good times. Speaking of, black lung, not a good thing, obviously. But I'm curious, it was making me kind of think of, like, I wonder what some of the strangest people, or the strangest places people listen to our show at. Do you think anyone, any miners listen to us, like, deep in a cave? That'd be a creepy place to listen to the show.
I don't know.
Can you do that? I mean, I don't know how noisy it would be, or if you can listen to things like with earbuds or anything or headphones when you're down there.
I would think that would be a major, major safety hazard, but
probably.
I may be wrong.
I don't know. It probably depends on what sort of thing you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry if I'm completely ignorant. I'm not very up on that industry and what the standards are and what you can and can't do. It just came to mind as probably a pretty creepy place to listen to our show, deep in a mine.
Sure.
If there's any coal miners in any part of our country who listen to our show or any place, really. I'm curious as to the strangest place someone listens to us.
I think I may have an answer.
What?
We had a listener probably a year and a half ago who works in a place where they store federal documents in a cave.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Down like in the mine. Yeah, those are old, like, salt mines.
Yes.
Yes.
And she listens to our show down there, and I thought that was probably the most unique place.
Those are creepy places. What state was that in? Was that near where we were in Kansas?
I was going to say it was near Kansas City.
Okay, because I know the there's an area in Hutchinson, Kansas,
mm-hmm.
where they have the old salt mine. You never got a chance to go down there, did you?
Oh, shucks.
You
I'm
never
sorry.
Did that little
going
tour.
Going that far underground where we have all these earthquakes now just didn't sound like fun to me.
It didn't sound like a grand old time.
And I'm sorry if anybody listening works for that company. I'm just too chicken shit.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
I was down there at their grand opening at the one in Hutch, and I remember They store a lot of there's federal document areas. Mm-hmm. There's like federal areas you can't go to, and then there's like Hollywood areas that like the movie industry owns, and the different like film companies have vaults, and then mm-hmm. their master reels are down there, including a lot of famous props. And I remember seeing Dorothy from not Wizard of Oz, but Dorothy from Twister.
Sure.
Was down there. And a whole bunch of other, like, the Batman suit I saw down there, and a couple other neat things that were just still being put into display cases when I toured it. But they keep it down there because it's, like, zero humidity, and it's just complete. It's, like, nuclear bomb proof, and it's way down there.
Mm-hmm.
So I also remember doing a tour on the cart around, and it's insane. If you've never been down in one of those places, just how large they are.
Yeah.
It is, it goes on for literally miles. And just, if you thought of it, it literally, and Hutchinson's not a huge city. It's, I don't know, it's 50, 60,000 mm-hmm. people. But it literally, I think, goes underneath the entire city. There's this whole, just thing of caverns that have all been blasted out for salt mining back when they were salt mining down mm-hmm. there. But very, very creepy place, because you only can go so far on the trams that take you around. Then you shoot like the million candle watt bulb down these long, cavernous, you know, ways, mm-hmm. and you can't see the end.
Ugh.
It just keeps going. So I can imagine that would be one hell of a place to listen to our show at. But imagine you have to have it downloaded. That's probably not streamable unless you're like hardwired in at that point. Not a whole lot of cell service down there. Anyway, let's go to our first caller of the day. Let's go to Greg in Oklahoma. Hi, Greg.
Hi, this is Greg out of Bixby, Oklahoma. My story basically involves this one instance of paranormal events. Sorry, you're kind of nervous talking about it, but it's about this one event that happened in Collinsville, Oklahoma. It's this old brick house, and it had been passed down, you know, generation from generation, from my, you know, Irish forefathers. And I mean, this house is got this old like rhinestone brick, and you know, just creaks around every corner, and just the freakiest things would happen there. Like, for instance, we had a hole in the ceiling of, you know, our kitchen area, and we would have, you know, crows. They would fly through the hole in the ceiling and just, you know, break their heads and just die instantaneously. I had instances where, you know, I remember taking a bath and seeing an eye looking at me through a hole in the wall. And but the main thing that I guess you could say really freaked me out was there was this black hooded figure, and I looked into it, and you know, a lot of online searches say, you know, well, this is a shadow person or, you know, something like that. But what I seen wasn't just like a shadow person. I mean, it was extremely detailed hooded figure, and you know, it stalked me for years. And my first encounter with it was when I was 5, and there was this long dreary hallway, and I just remember, you know, going to get a glass of milk, and this thing started, you know, slowly pacing its way towards me down the hallway. And I tried to knock on my, you know, parents' door and wake them up, and they wouldn't, you know, answer me. It's almost like they were in a trance. And you know, I try to shake my sister back and forth, waking her up, and you know, it was the same thing. She wouldn't wake up. And so for hours, I just remember this entity just, you know, passing me back and forth with my hood, you know, with my blanket over my head, and just pacing back and forth, breathing really hard and hearing its footsteps, you know. Sorry. It's really hard to talk about this. I remember, you know, it pacing back and forth, and like I said, this thing haunted me for years. All the way up to middle school, I had issues with this. And the last time I remember encountering it is around the time I was in middle school, and I had a dream, and it reached its hand out at my arm and said, "I'm going to fucking kill you." Funny part is, you know, well, I guess you, I mean, I don't really necessarily think it's funny, but, I wake up and there's a handprint on my arm, but it's not like, you know, a left handprint. It's like, you know, a right handprint. And I'm like, well, there's no way I could have done that, you know, myself, because, you know, there's no way you can grab your right arm with your, you know, right hand. And there's just this bruise print on my arm. And I wake up, you know, just, you know, barely opening my eyes and seeing, you know, seeing it like standing right before me. And, I just had issues with that. And, constant knocking on the windows. I would knock back. It would knock back. And I don't know if this had anything to do with, you know, my family, my Irish forefathers, of whether or not they were pagan or something, because what I've looked up online of, you know, you know, what they wore in pagan rituals and things like that were, you know, usually the black hooded robes. And looking into some of my lineage, I had also seen that one of my relatives had worn a black hooded robe. So, and I know, you know, like I said, this house is 200 years old. People live there, people have died there. And something that my grandma, she had told me, which my dad denies, my mom denies any seeing anything in the house, but they had seen a solid, clean, white dress, looked really old, like old school style, you know, and just sprawled out across the bed, almost like somebody was about to get married or something. And just freaky instances, you know. And I have other stories to tell, but I'll save that for you guys another time. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
So a shadow boy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many shadow children we've talked about. That's kind of unusual.
I think sometimes it's hard to tell, obviously, when you have the shadow things, exactly how old they may be.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, you know, other than height,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you will. I mean, because sometimes we have, you know, very out of place or out of size, if you will, shadow people stories where it's like, and it was so ridiculously large.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you wonder, is it really a boy? Is it just the way that it's manifesting itself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess actions which speak louder than height.
Yeah.
In this case. But I think sometimes it's just very hard to tell.
Well, and with his knowing some of his practices that his ancestors partook in,
mm-hmm.
and how old the house is, it's hard to know if something is attached to the family or attached to the house or both.
Sure.
And it's just unusual. It's just really hard to pick that out.
It is. It very much is. Thank you for that story, and thank you for sharing all that information about your experiences and your past. It's always interesting to hear that. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Joseph over in Phoenix. I enjoyed your show, and thank you for sharing my stories. I'm glad that Tony loved the one about my recent one I submitted about the Bucket of Blood Saloon. I'm hoping he loved it. And I was calling in for a friend. I told him about the show and everything, and he listened a little bit. And he wanted me to tell you this story since he can't, well, kind of scared too, and plus he doesn't speak English that well. It's happened to him this past time when he took a trip to Mexico. He went to Mexico and on the way down, it was starting to get dark, and as he was driving down, he ended up seeing a girl in a purple coat walking on the side of the road, and so he stopped and see what she was doing on the road, and says, I'm trying to find my mother, and I don't know where she's at, and he opened the door and said, well, come in and we'll try to find her, and if not, we'll travel to the, there's a truck stop up the road, and we'll stop and, you know, try to see if we, you know, call her or whatever, and so she gets in, and as they drive, and he tries to ask her, you know, what she was doing, and she couldn't remember, and she was shivering, trying to get warm, and he turned the heater on a little bit, and still couldn't get cold. She was shivering, and so he was talking to her and trying to get any more information. She didn't know and had no information, and so they looked and couldn't find the car or whatever, and they traveled to the truck stop, and so she got out and everything, and he ended up showing her in and everything, and then he went to use the restroom and came out, and you know, she was gone, and she probably, you know, getting something to eat or something, and you know, a safe place for her, you know, with the truck drivers and stuff, and he's seen her a couple times, you know, he ended up finding her with a couple of truck drivers, and so he went outside, and as he got in his car, he noticed that the little girl's jacket was in the passenger seat, so he grabbed the jacket and put it in, or took it inside for the little girl, and the little girl wasn't there at all. And he was like trying to find her, and when the truck driver was like, "What are you looking for?" I said, "Well, I'm looking for a little girl that was here, and she lost her jacket." Said, "Oh, you must be new to the area." I'm like, "Well, I've traveled this, further, a little bit." He goes, "Well, you haven't heard the story, have you?" He goes, "No." I says, "Well, the truck driver and a couple other ones were telling about it, that they too saw this girl, and she leaves the jacket, and when they come inside, she disappears. And every now and then you see her on the side of the road, you pick her up and you travel down to the truck stop, and she vanishes. And what she leaves behind is a coat. So he didn't know what to believe, and he was kind of freaked out when he was telling me about this. And I'm like, "Wow, so that'd be a good story for you guys." I'll see what you guys think, and love to hear the stories, and it's really awesome to hear about the paranormal and these kind of stories, and I hope to hear a lot more from you, and I'm catching up on the EVPs and the EPPs, and they're really good, and I'm enjoying them. Thanks a lot. Keep up the awesome work. Love you guys. Have a good time. Bye.
So I want to know what happens to the coat after the girl disappears and all she leaves behind is a coat.
Yeah.
Does the coat then, after a little bit, mysteriously disappear as well?
Exactly. Can the ghost bring you new products from beyond the grave? And then you can resell them and make some money off of the ghosts because they're bringing them to you.
I don't know. It's very kind of like a Resurrection Mary type story.
It is, very much so. Except it's a little girl missing the coat. I would love to know the answer to that one.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder with stories like that, you know, where does it originate? Where does this start? You know, because it's probably one of those where there's probably a couple variations to it.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to pinpoint where the very first one was and why.
Mm-hmm.
You know? How accurate is the story that is being told today to what was originally told?
But, you know, we've heard here recently, and I don't know if any of our listeners can help fill us in, that over in Japan, where they had the massive tsunami, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah.
That there are people that flag down taxis mm-hmm. and claim to want to go to these villages or towns that are actually no longer there.
Yeah.
And then by the time they get there, the back seat is empty.
And that's rather disturbing.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of stories about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Latasha in Texas. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Latasha from Texas. I actually called and left this story, I think, a couple of months ago. And I haven't heard it on the show yet. And I know, Jenny, you said that you had probably aired it already, but I know you aired my previous story, and I called that same day and left a new one. So I'm going to go ahead and retell it. This is the second time this has happened, so I think there might be some kind of a connection issue with me calling in and telling a story. So I'm going to try the voice recording and see if that gets through. So this will be the continuation from the last story that I left when I mentioned my nephew has been seeing some things. He's 7 now. This is the same nephew from my first story. When he saw my dog that passed away in my bedroom when he was 1.5 years. So he's 7. My sister and her 3 kids live towards Houston, and the rest of the family, we live in the Austin area. So it's about almost 3 hours away. And she texted me one day, sometime last year, and it was a picture of her son. He was sleeping on the bedroom floor of his little sister's room. So her 3 kids are 7, 5, and she's got one that's about to turn 2, and they all have apparently been seeing the same thing, but it started out with her son. And she texted me that, and she said, you know what, I put them to sleep in their own beds at night, and then for the past couple of nights when I wake them up to get them ready for school, he's in here. I said, well, did you ask him if he's having nightmares? And she said, no, I think I'm going to talk to him about it. And at the time, our older sister and her mom were spending the week with her to help her take care of the kids while she had to go back and forth to the doctor and stuff. And my older sister has insomnia, so she stays awake in the middle of the night, and then she usually sleep during the day. So when my sister was getting the kids ready for school, my older sister was still awake, and she told our older sister that, you know, her son had been getting up in the middle of the night and going in his sister's room. So our older sister asked him, she said, are you having nightmares? And he said, no. And she said, well, why are you in your sister's room? And he said, because there's a zombie in my room that wakes me up at night and it scares me and I don't want to sleep alone. And she said, a zombie? You mean a ghost? And he said, not a ghost, a zombie. So at this point, we were kind of like, why would he say zombie? He doesn't watch zombie stuff on TV or anything like that. So we were just kind of confused why he would say he was seeing a zombie. So that kind of freaked us out a little bit, and I was kind of scared for him. But I said, well, maybe it'll go away, or just talk to him later and see if he says anything else. Well, that same morning, when she let the kids go downstairs, our older sister went upstairs to his bedroom, and she said she felt some kind of weird presence up there. So she just prayed over his room, and downstairs, when our other sister opened the door to take the kids outside, our nephew says, "I see it leaving, the zombie, he's leaving." And she said, "What?" He said, "I see the zombie leaving, but I don't see the ghost." And we were like, "Wait a minute, what's he talking about?" So after that, our older sister said she felt something heavy on her after she did that. It went away after a little bit of praying, and like she went to church and just kind of prayed for whatever it was to just leave her alone, and it finally went away. But I know that I went to visit shortly after that, and it was my first time in her apartment. I felt fine, but as soon as I got upstairs and I went into my nephew's room, I did feel some sort of anxiety, and I was nervous in there. And I don't know if it was just because of what he said happened, but I just didn't feel comfortable. And I asked him, I said, "Do you want to talk about what happened in here?" And he just shook his head no, and that was it. So the next couple of days, you know, every time I went in his bedroom, he'd say, "Come watch me play video games," or come look at my toys or whatever. And we'd go in there, and I could only stay in there for a few minutes before I was like, "Okay, let's go downstairs and play," because I couldn't stay in that room. So a little bit after that, my sister sends me a video. She's potty training her little one, and he's in the bathroom, he's on the potty, and he's singing. And as soon as the video starts, he takes a double look over his shoulder, and the only thing that's right there is the wall. It's a really small bathroom. It's one of those half bathrooms, and there's nothing in there. She doesn't have pictures or anything hanging up, and he's just staring at the wall, and he's just kind of swaying back and forth, but he gets really quiet. And I said, "That's cute. I'm glad he's getting potty trained." I said, "But what's he looking at?" And she goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Look at the video again." And I said, "I'm not trying to freak you out, but it is kind of creepy." And, you know, I've showed my mom, I've showed my sister, I showed my husband, and they all noticed it, that he looked over his shoulder like he saw something in the bathroom with him, and it was really weird. So I went to visit her 4th of July weekend. It was her birthday, and I went back out there, and this time I had a completely different vibe in the apartment. The first time I was there, I slept in the bed with my sister, and I felt okay. But this time, she's got a partner now, so they were sleeping in the room. I had to sleep downstairs on the couch by myself, and I was terrified. It's just, I don't know what it is about her apartment. I just didn't feel comfortable. I tossed and turned the whole night. I get sleep paralysis a lot, but it only happens to me when I take a nap during the daytime, and I'm sleeping really heavy. It never happens at night. But I was getting sleep paralysis this entire night. I was trying to wake myself up. I kept just hearing really weird things. There was a light on in the kitchen, so I wasn't in the complete dark, but it still kind of freaked me out because there was a reflection on the TV that I could see, so I had to turn away from the TV so that I just wouldn't happen to see something that I didn't want to see. And I told my sister, I said, "I don't feel comfortable in your apartment." I was like, "Something's going on in here." And so her partner said, "Well, you know, her daughter has been seeing some stuff too." I said, "Are you serious?" And I was told that my niece talks to something in her closet. And my mom said that she noticed it. She went upstairs and she saw my niece talking. And she thought she was talking to her dolls, but she didn't have her dolls in her hand. Because sometimes she plays with her dolls and she makes them talk, like, you know, gives them voices and things. But she didn't even have any toys with her, but she was just talking directly into the closet. And my mom told my sister, "You might want to talk to her because she's talking to somebody in her room, and it's scary." And so I went ahead and I, you know, took my niece outside and I said, "Hey, I said, can you tell me something? I said, do you have a friend in your room?" And she kind of does this face like she's thinking, and she says, "No." I said, "You don't have a friend that you talk to in your closet?" And she said, "No." I said, "Well, who do you talk to when you're by yourself?" She goes, "Oh, it's the TV, because when I don't have anybody to play with, I turn the TV on." I said, "Are you sure you don't have somebody in your room?" And she looks down at the ground. She didn't shake her head. She didn't say no. She just looks at the ground, like, kind of like she's not supposed to say anything. And I said, "That's okay, sweetie. Let's go back inside." So we went back, and I told my sister and her partner what happened. And they said, "That's really weird." And they said that they had asked her before, you know, who she was talking to up in her room. And she said, I can't say. And they thought maybe she's playing with her dolls. But then a few minutes later, she said, hey, can I go get my dolls? I left them at my friend's house. And they were like, okay, well, it wasn't her dolls. So she's talking to something up there. So we're not really sure what's going on. I feel like my sister is in denial, or either that or she's just scared. She did tell me just recently, too, that when her partner got up to go to work, it was just her and the kids at home. Actually, no, her partner hadn't even left for work yet, but it was early in the morning, right before it was time for them to get up to get ready for work, and they heard a loud banging noise in the baby monitor. So they went to go check the baby's room to see if one of the babies fell out of the bed or something, and they said there was nothing. Nothing was moved. Nothing fell, but they didn't know what that noise was. So when my sister's partner went to work, she was freaked out the rest of the day by herself because she wanted to know what that noise was. And another thing my niece told me too, when I was having a conversation with her, again, she's 5 years old. We were talking about something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I remember her saying that something was creepy. Oh, my sister had the babies upstairs taking a nap, and one of the kids got up and was moving around up there. And she was like, I hear the door opening up there. I think one of the kids is awake. And my niece said, well, that's creepy. And I said, well, what's creepy about it? She said, well, this apartment is creepy. And I said, well, what's creepy about it? And she said, ghostess. And I said, ghostess? And she said, yeah. I said, are there ghostess here? And she goes, yeah, and they're white. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I guess she was saying, like, I'm thinking pale or, like, very transparent looking is what she meant by that, which is really creepy, because that tells me she is seeing something. And I said, have you seen them before? And she goes, yeah. And I said, well, do they talk to you? And she shook her head yes. And I said, well, what do they say to you? And she said, well, they tell me good night before I go to bed. And I told my sister that, and she said, well, maybe they're angels watching over her. I said, you're in denial. I was like, just because she says that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing. Doesn't mean it's bad, but I was like, there's something here, and you should figure it out. But anyway, that's my story, and I hope this gets to you. And if anything else happens, I'll be calling with more updates. Thanks. Bye.
I agree. There's something definitely going on. It's just a matter of, is it worth trying to figure it out? Do you really want to know? And I think sometimes just being aware can help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to encourage the kids to not engage when they are seeing something.
And that's probably a lot of it, is being aware, not engaging, because sometimes the engagement in itself could make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
It could conjure this worse. It could make it much more problem than it is. But a little paranormal education, if you will.
Yeah.
It's like Ouija awareness,
mm-hmm.
almost. But zombie thing awareness, or whatever you want to call it. Zombie thing. So, yeah, I think that is exactly correct. It's being aware, and how do you deal with it? How do you handle it? Because naturally, kids aren't going to know what to do. You know, they're going to try and engage and try and figure out what's going on.
Sure.
And helping them understand, don't do that. You know, and that in itself may calm the situation down.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing your experience with us. We do appreciate that. Have you heard of Gags the Clown?
No.
This is what they're calling it. Around Green Bay, Wisconsin, they're on edge after seeing a person dressed like a clown by the intersection of Mason and Adams Street around 2 a.m. on Tuesday.
Your mom sent that to me on Facebook.
Yeah,
it's creepy. I just didn't know he had a name.
There's been multiple sightings of this clown, and it is creepy as hell looking. And I can just picture this thing, because I remember driving around Green Bay, getting to work at the radio station around that, you know, not 2 a.m., but I think midnight or 1 mm-hmm. is when the overnight shift started. And I remember having to go in this general area. Lots of, you know, overpasses, and there's a picture of him underneath an overpass with just those creepy lights shining down and the night sky in the back. And it was always kind of a creepy area.
Uh-huh.
And it's this really creepy-ass clown. And he's holding black balloons.
Oh, God.
Walking around. He has a Facebook page now, Gags, G-A-G-S, the clown, the Green Bay clown is what you can look up if you want to see more about Gags. According to NBC 26 News out of Green Bay, police say they've received a few calls about the clown. A person can walk down the sidewalk dressed however they want as long as they're in a place they legally can be and they're not in a place that has a closing time, like a park. That's what Captain Kevin Warch said to the Green Bay Police Department. Police say their options are limited in dealing with the situation.
Okay. That's just wrong.
So there you go. You got a creepy clown that's completely funny. As long as he's not harming anybody, I guess they're right. There really isn't anything they can do.
I'm trying to pull up his Facebook page.
Not exactly creating. I mean, I don't know. It's just creepy as hell. I remember there was... God. It wasn't a creepy clown, but when we were living in Wichita, there was this guy who would dress in a cape, and he was wearing like all black, and he had this cape, and he would go play in traffic. Now that was one who should have been arrested.
Yeah, he and would.
I did call the police on that one a couple times because he'd be like 5:30 on a Friday night at one of the busiest intersections in town, and he'd be like wandering around in the crosswalk when there's like oncoming traffic when you shouldn't be in the crosswalk. And I think there might have been something, I'm going to guess, probably not right there. Probably some sort of illness going on with that case. This one, the clown in Green Bay, I'm thinking this is, others are speculating this might be part of a small film that's being made.
Okay.
So there may be something to this other than just someone who's really getting joy out of walking around Green Bay in the middle of the night, dressed as a creepy clown with black balloons.
So I wonder how often... Well, I don't know. I was going to say, I wonder how often black balloons are purchased, but I forgot about like people doing their over-the-hill parties and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah, you can get those at any, you know, any party store or online or...
Yeah, I just didn't know if there's a party store seeing a spike in black balloon sales.
Black balloon sales. You could narrow that down a little bit better. Yeah. And this guy goes in every night, buys a bouquet of black balloons, and he's just walking around town right before they close at 9 o'clock. So they're nice and, you know,
and fresh.
Nice and fresh. It's creepy as hell. We'll keep you up to date on the Gags the Clown situation as more information arrives.
That's messed up.
Let's go to a caller in North Carolina.
Hello, everybody. I just want to let you know that I really love your show. I listen to it for about 6 hours straight every time I drive from North Carolina to Alabama. And it's just, I don't know, you guys do such a great job. And I've been listening for a while, so I'm pretty sure that it's more than fair that I become an EPP soon. It's just I'm a little, I don't know, about the payment system and everything. Anyways, I'm just paranoid about paying online, I guess. But I just wanted to call to tell you my own experience, and it's a pretty strong one. I am Hispanic, just in case you haven't come from my accent. I have a really weird accent. I've lived in the South for about 10 years. My family is a Hispanic, is Mexican, in a small city called Oaxaca, in the south of Mexico. So growing up, my grandmother has been said that she sees the future, and she's like a has medium and is able to see the future and is able to see anything from like revolutionary people in Oaxaca, like just standing there, to horses across the room, and she's seen some weird stuff. And she just tells you as it's a memory, you know. And she, there's a lot of haunted places in South Mexico. We grow up with a tradition of believing that this people come back, you know, and my grandpa comes back to her in her dreams, and is kind of like a comfort for her, I guess, in some ways. She's told us all these stories. And so we are very much believers into what that is within a Catholic family and the tradition. So, with that being said, I was going through a really rough spot in my life about 2 years ago. I was in a really abusive relationship, and I was experiencing all these tragedy. I mean, it was like this bad things after bad things after bad things. And it was like I crashed my car, then the next I will lose my job. I mean, things that I've never experienced before, like in my life. Like, I was in the military. I never really, you know, I've had a pretty good work ethic. I just started experiencing bad things. And it was like I couldn't sleep. I kept waking up like at 3 a.m. every night. I kept waking up. I couldn't breathe. I felt like I could not breathe. And having these weird dreams and having just a lot of weird stuff happening. So then my mother contacted this, what we call kind of like a shaman, like a bruja, in the south of, you know, Oaxaca, that where my grandmother lives. And basically told us that I had some kind of evil incantation or some kind of evil work going on with me, and that I was living, where I was living in Lexington, North Carolina, and where I was living, it was some kind of like extremely like a negative energy, just like a negative field of energy, that it was something that was, you know, happening to me that related to where I lived. And, you know, in a way, I kind of wanted to believe that stuff because it was just so many bad things going on in my life, that it was like I could not shake off. It was like a force. It was so horrible. And finally, one day, my daughter, my son, and I were just in the living room. Oh, and the witch had told my mother that I had to put salt in a blue candle and like sage my house, because there was this negative entity in my house that was attached to me. And she could see it, like in whatever sources of divination that she had, that she could see this stuff, that I was being chased, or somebody was putting a curse, or something was going on. And so, we're sitting, after all this stuff happened, we're sitting in the living room, and my daughter says, is like, which my daughter is like a little daredevil, like she'll do anything. She's not scared of anything. Like, she'll just jump eyes wide open into any kind of situation. She's a tiny little thing, feisty, unafraid. And she all of a sudden was afraid into going into my room. And it was real weird. She's like, I don't want to go. And then Connor's like, well, I'm not going with her. Like, I am not going there. And then I was like, well, why? I mean, they're barren, you know, they're like 6 and 7. I said, well, why are you not going there? And she's like, well, there's a shadow boy there. There is a little boy, and he lives there. And he lives in our room. And I was like, why do you mean he lives? I was like, well, he keeps coming back and forth from your room to my room, and I keep seeing him, and he's this tiny little boy. And shadow boy, he's really fast, and I'm afraid, like, I don't want to see him anymore. And then I was like, okay, well, and that was that. You know, I was just really, I was scared because I could feel something was going on in my house. I could feel this heaviness in the air. It was really odd, but I could never really put a finger into it. But then she said, you know, all this stuff about this shadow boy. And I said, well, how is he? How does he look? He's like, he's this boy, and he's black. And he has a big head, and he's black. And you can't see how he's dressed. I think he's dressed in pajamas, mommy, he said. And he's dressed in bed clothes. And he's mad, and he's just running around back and forth between your room and my room in the hallway. And, you know, I don't know what it was, but then something just came over me, like this sense of, there is something here that is bigger than me, that I can tell that other people in my family are able to see from the burst, like bird's eye view, just being able to see the situations that were in my life that I could not see. Like, all I could see just that it was just challenge after challenge, and it was like this long tunnel that I could never get past, and it was just hardship after hardship. And anyways, my mom called this lady from South Mexico, and mind you, there's not a lot of people that you can really tell this story, you know, because not a lot of people really understand Mexican tradition. So this lady did some kind of job on me. I sent her a, and all I know is my mom sent her a picture and a shred of my hair, and she started doing something, and she said in 7 days, whatever is ailing her is going to clear up, and gave us some like really time frames in some other situations that really were met. Like within a week, I found a job, and it was like door after door just started opening, like, and then my house all of a sudden fell clear. The situation was so bad in my life at that point, and it was kind of like my mother even flew in to see me, and she could feel the heaviness in my house, and she bought like these little tiny statues of angels and put some Benedict medals all over and made me pray this it's called a decree. And people in Mexico, people that believe they have, you know, powers and witches and stuff, they create this, it's not a spell, I would say it's more of a prayer, like a personalized prayer, in which you are, you know, kind of renouncing to any of the evil that your family before you or any of your family might have offended somebody, and you might have been a generation in which there are, you know, the same, I damn you, you know, it's like they're putting an incantation, a generational, worst case, like a generational spell or something in which all your family is gonna, you know, do this and this. So anyways, I wanted to share that because there's not a lot of people really that would understand, and I know that there's a lot of factors in here, but I was listening to one of your episodes about the guy from Asheville, which I lived in Hickory, which is also close to Asheville, and I've been to all these places that he's mentioning and he's talking about, and it really opened my eyes about when he said that the South is a really haunted place because there was the Confederate War and all these places that have all this kind of vortexes and negative energy. And I do believe that where I lived in Lexington, North Carolina, I believe with everything in me that there was something there in that land where I lived, that it was just this, I don't know, some kind of environment that maybe was conducive to a lot of negative energy being there. And I was, I guess, sensitive enough to fall prey of whatever, you know, field of energy was there. I don't know. You know better than me. But so anyways, keep up the work. As I said, whenever I get over my paranoia of paying online about stuff, paying online, then I promise, because I really want to support you guys' efforts. Keep up the good work. And I'm driving to Alabama. And bye. Thank you for listening. And it's okay if you don't put it on there because it was too long. Bye.
We like long calls. That's okay. You know, when you're in a bad spot in your life and you have a lot of things going on that are not good and you're just having a lot of trouble, that can kind of bring things on. But it seems like the paranormal actually had more of a positive role in this case,
mm-hmm.
with the, you know, I'm not sure what you call her, but the woman that kind of actually almost ridded her of the curse, mm-hmm. that was on her.
Sure. I don't know what you'd call her either, but it's an interesting thing where that happens, where it's oftentimes the opposite.
Yeah.
Where the paranormal like makes things a little bit worse, but this time it actually came in and did the opposite. It's interesting how we get stories where you can start thinking one way completely about something, and then you get another story, and it's like, oh, I didn't think of it from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We get that quite often. So that's what makes us great. That's what makes this whole thing of everybody sharing these stories and this thing we have so cool of all the perspectives that come together.
Right.
So it makes us not understand it even more than ever before, but it makes it more palatable, I think, mm-hmm. as far as not being quite as scary.
Yeah.
You know, although some... I don't know if that's even accurate either. You know what I'm trying to say? It opens your mind to more possibilities than just one thing.
Sure.
So I think when you start talking about paranormal, you almost have one thing on your mind, and this is how it's going to be, and that's it, and it's the end-all, be-all. I guess you the more you listen to this show, the more you're going to go, oh, there's stuff even much scarier and darker than what I was even thinking. But there's also this whole other lighter palette that's like, oh, it can be actually really good, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always just, oh, my God, this is the creepiest, weirdest thing in the world. But but thank you for your story. We greatly appreciate you sending that into us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to help us stay on the air, consider becoming an EPP. Sign up on the website at ghostpodcast.com. Ghostpodcast.com. That is what keeps this thing going. So check that out. And help us stay on the air with this thing called Real Ghost Stories Online. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.